Amen, amen, amen. I am so happy to see all of you today. And Elder, we are glad to have you and the sisters in the house. You know, Lord, help me to hold out as one of my old-time favorites. And so I thank God for you singing that song today. Amen. We appreciate you so much for coming. And thank you all for coming. In fact, I saw one of my good friends out there, Pastor Reverend John Brown out there. I mean, raise your hand, Reverend Brown. See, he's got the right last name. Amen. And we have all been wedded like brothers. And so we are happy to see you and the members and friends that we have at your church at Restoration Fellowship in Prince George's County. And to all of the rest of you who are here, we are happy that you came and we appreciate you. And we're going to do a little something and get out of your way because we know it is Saturday and people have things to do on Saturday. Amen. Just so happens that the day the Lord said, go to church. Yes. Amen. And we were just at a homegoing memorial, and so it's good to come into a lively presence of people and praise God in life, you know, because we thank God for the life of the departed, but it's so good to come and see all of you alive and kicking and praising God like you are. Let us pray. God, we do thank you right now for this word that has come forth. We ask that you will bless it, that you will allow us to say only the things that you have mentioned to us in our prayers and in our time of study. We give your name all the glory in Jesus' name. Love is patient. Love is kind. And as is typical when we do our team preaching, I am a lot of times come up to be the instigator of the service. And then my wife comes along and she does some things that I always get in trouble for, because I'm always praising her about how she will preach to me and say, see, you hear back there telling me, go on with it. Okay, I'm going to hurry up and get out of the way. So, Tan, you know I get in trouble. Yeah. Amen, amen. But you know, all right, I'm going to leave it alone. I had some more to say, but I'm going to leave that alone. Love is a term that must be a part of family atmospherics. Atmospherics, paraphrase, it is a physical manipulation of the environment around us to change the mood, positively or negatively. You all know how people can change the atmosphere, positively or negatively. The atmospherics encompass four main senses: hearing, sight, smell, and touch, or the feel of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So family and friends and co-workers and neighbors, put more love in the atmosphere. Did you hear me? If you did, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, friend, put more love in the atmosphere. Now, if that one didn't smile at you when you were doing it, get you another neighbor and tell that neighbor, friend, turn to me and say, put more love in the atmosphere. Oh, yeah, y'all got it. I love audience participation, so you got it, you got it, you got it. You see, God gave us a simple message today, and we believe that the troubles in this world warrants us to talk to you with the four senses of the atmospherics around us involved. So we challenge you with the 4-point family and friends day atmospheric questionnaire. Yes, God gave us a questionnaire, and he wants you to answer the question. That's my grandbaby out there hollering, y'all. I'm so proud. He's already in the spirit. Amen, amen. Your homeboy, your homegirl family, your church family, your work family, and your neighborly family, those in this world around you, whether you know them or not, even your adopted family, can you hear the love in the atmosphere? Amen. Can you see or visualize the love in the atmosphere when you're around them? Can you smell the love when you're in the atmosphere? And how sweet is that love in your family? And so we ask, can you feel it? Can you touch it? Is it in the atmosphere so that you know what that is all about? Recently, y'all know, the nation was consumed with the total eclipse of the sun, where the sun was completely hidden behind the moon. God's astonishing and incredible work. God's extraordinary and breathtaking work. It was God's exceptional work. God's amazing and remarkable work. And the work showed up in a tremendous stellar display of his awesomeness and his unlimited power. Oh, y'all can say amen, because it was awesome in our eyes. People were in awe. And while you couldn't hear it coming, families and friends and co-workers and even neighbors joined together in an ununified fashion to be unified so that they can fellowship while trying to see this phenomenon. Yes, this was all God's doing. Because not now one of y'all, we said that where I grew up in North Carolina, not now one of y'all could have done this. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, nobody else out there. Only God could do what was done in the atmosphere. And people brought special glasses. People even got around their political affiliation. The Trumpers and the Bidenites got together as a family. They got around racial animus and strife and adversity and strife in order to unify regarding this event. They had to see what was going on. Well, Psalm 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is for man to dwell together in unity. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. That the devil desires to sift us as wheat. So in other words, if he can keep families divided, mad at each other, carrying grudges in the atmosphere for years and constantly changing things in the atmospherics of the family, so they certainly won't be loved. If he can do that, then we are off track. There will be no love. And so God told us to challenge you about unity and your love that you place in the atmosphere. Now, Pastor John, you and I haven't been talking like this a whole lot, but I got two other preacher friends that will call me and talk to me on Facebook and on email or text whenever we haven't heard from each other in a while. And they'll say jokingly, well, brother, I don't feel the love. In other words, I haven't been talking to them like I should have been. And they hadn't talked to me. I don't feel the love. One of them even tells me, where is that Crisco that you gonna put on me to anoint my head? Because you must not be praying for me enough, brother. And so we go back and forth with that. But let me digress just a minute to remind all of y'all about an old Tyler Perry movie that was called Family Reunion. Y'all know that movie. Yeah, well, there was raw dysfunction in that movie. There was much indignation in that movie. There was much denigration in that movie. There was much disillusionment in that movie, and certainly much disappointment. But in the end, the family unit won out. Despite all the hell that they had all been through, the family unit worked out. They made it. They went through. The family united. So where all my Madea fans at? Madea fans. All right. So whenever Madea comes on, I'm usually watching. But you know that. And then Reverend Veronica Tyler had the nerve to come up with the big happy family movie. You know? And the family was obviously full of trauma. Because they were big. But they were certainly not happy. Y'all know it. Y'all remember when you saw it? In other words, the level of upside down atmospheric in that family was so strong that people had to go along with the fact that the family was just big, but it had problems. 1 Peter 4:8 says we have to have fervent love among yourselves. For love hides a multitude of faults. Somebody didn't talk to them in that movie to tell them that. But we came to tell you today that there should be no shame in your game when true love from God is coming to be poured upon your loved ones, your issues, and your circumstances. Anybody got circumstances? I don't know about you, but I've had some circumstances. I've had some issues. I've had some time where I didn't know up from down. And I was asking God, what in the world, God, are we going to do? And I needed him to tell me where we needed to go. What should I be putting in the atmosphere? I hope there's some witnesses in the house. Let me put it this way. Because of negativity, there's been a shift in the harmonious atmosphere in the family. If we trust God, he will cover our multitude of faults. I hope you hear me. God loves our family so much that he created the structured settlement, if you will, where families are knitted together, are allowed to be fruitful and multiply and have life more abundantly. But I would be remiss, Reverend Brown, if I didn't mention that way too many families, including church families, have not unified. They say they love God, who is love, but they don't show the love or seem to have love in their hearts. But we came to tell you that God said, put more love in the atmosphere. That goes for all of us, from the pulpit to the door. Even when we don't agree, we got to agree to disagree. Put more love in the atmosphere. Let me tell you one more quick story, and I'll hurry up and get out of the way so that the preacher can come. True story. More than a decade ago, my wife and I, we attended a marriage retreat. And a lady stood up in the place, and she said in the atmosphere, I'm in love. I love my husband, but I'm not in love with my husband. And so, of course, the atmosphere went blank. The people were stunned. She said it again, I love my husband, but I'm not in love with my husband. So we were just dumbfounded. We didn't really know what to do. Pastor, I would tell you that you could have heard a pin drop in that room. Nobody knew, and there were several pastors in the room. Nobody really knew what to say and what to do. The shame to him and to his family that was there was now in the atmosphere. And what made matters worse was the atmosphere was filled with something that seemed like total devastation. Just like a bomb had dropped, blown away all happiness. You see, the devil loves to be in the details of dysfunction. He loves to be in the details of destruction. And he loves to take Christian people and decimate their families and their friends and their co-workers and the churches that God has put us in. 1 Peter 5:8 said the devil is like a roaring lion and he's seeking whom he may devour. John 10:10 said that the enemy's purpose is to kill and steal and destroy us. Amen. But the NLT version adds that Jesus' purpose was to give us a rich and satisfying life. Anybody here want a rich and satisfying life? You want it more abundantly? Yes. Be with God and get on Jesus' side when you put things in the atmosphere. Let me tell you a couple other things. That the devil loves to be in the details of disintegration of families. The devil will try to mess you up He'll try to mess up your happy family. I know it because I've seen it happen. He'll try to do anything he can to make everything go the wrong way. And before Pastor I comes, I want to just remind you that he did it back in Genesis 3 and 1 with the first family. He was the Satan that was in the form of a serpent. And he came to the garden, the most cunning person there was. And the serpent knew that this family loved God. They even would walk with God and hear from God while he's walking in the Garden of Eden early in the cool of the morning. But yet Satan came to ruin the atmosphere. He wanted to ruin it for all eternity. And let me tell you, because some of us have to work by the sweat of our brow, and women have to have babies in pain and labor and all of this dysfunction in the world, Satan has almost won, because the world is almost ruined. But our word to you is that when we put God first and we put more love in the atmosphere, Satan has no power. He can't ruin your family, and he sure can't ruin mine, and he can't ruin the church family. And the people of God said, on my part, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, Pastor Keith. Ooh, well, 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 it's my time to take a look at the scripture that was read for your hearing not too long ago. That passage of scripture that we are highlighting on today makes its appearance, and you all know I'm telling the truth, at just about every wedding that you show up to. Am I right about it? Many couples choose these words because it reminds them of the love that they profess to have between them. That chapter has become known as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And I get that. I get it. It's okay. But this chapter, can I tell somebody, was not written for couples to read on their special day. I need somebody to follow me here. You see, there was a deeper reason that Paul writes so extensively about the subject of love in his letter. You see, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, a church that he knew well, to people that he also knew well. And he was helping them to deal with some worldliness that had entered into the church house. And you see, it is very easy, Brother Sultan, for the issues of the world to show up in the church. Somebody say amen. Most of us spend more time in the world, glory to God, than we do in the church. So if we don't shake off the world, we will bring it into the church. I know I'm saying it right already. You see, but note that just before Paul jumps on his soapbox about love, he's discussing spiritual gifts. I need you to see that in chapter number 12. Don't miss that. Because the spiritual gifts to which he refers are needed and necessary in the church. Even though we have different kinds of gifts, they all come from the same source. Oh, I'm in the Bible. These gifts are handpicked by God himself, and he gives each one of us at least one. Hallelujah. But just like the time in which we live, the Corinthians had become focused on the gifts. Who's got the bigger gift? Who has the better gift? And who has more anointing? Sound like your church, don't it? And the man that I really like to call Pastor Paul, he picks up his pen and he tells the people, pump your brakes. He says they are getting caught up in the gifts, but they're missing the main ingredient. You all know know. You all know what the main ingredient is, because you know that that main ingredient is what we were talking about, and that is love. Oh God. You see, Paul says all of the gifts are good. You see, yes, they are. He says what each person brings to the table really is great. But when your gift is displayed, when your gift is demonstrated, make sure some love is in the mix in order to impact the atmosphere. Why, Pastor? Because when love is done right, when it is drenched with a godly kind of love, then the body of Christ is edified. God shall be glorified. And as we like to say, the devil will be horrified. Oh, I know I'm saying it right. I know I'm saying it right. But in order for the love to be seen, for the love to be heard, smelled, and touched, we need to grab a hold of a few points that I want to share with you in the next few minutes. The first thing I'm going to tell you is this, that spiritual gifts minus love equals nothing. But love plus spiritual gifts equals everything. You see, Paul begins explaining to the people in Corinth in the 13th chapter and beginning in verses number 1 through verse number 3 that if you show up without love, he says you're just making a whole lot of noise. He says he calls it clanging cymbals. You all heard it in the text. The Message Bible says that it sounds like the creaking of a rusty gate. Can I tell you that neither of those sounds are appealing to my ears? I don't know about yours, but I don't like that kind of sound. Have you ever listened to someone try to play an instrument that they've had no training on, no instruction on? They just hitting the drum. They just blowing the horn. They just hitting all the keys on the keyboard. All you want to do is just close your ears and Lord, just make them stop. Well, Paul says that this is what it's like when we come together as family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers without the ingredients of love. He said it might be mediocre at best, but it won't be nothing great, and it won't have a lasting impact. It won't be impactful for the people who hear it. He says, but on the flip side of the coin, when we interject that love of Christ into the atmosphere, well, good God from Zion, that means there is a game changer about to take place. I need somebody to hold on just a minute. You see, then we will hear a joyful, harmonious, melodious sound coming from the people. When the love of God leads us, ministries become more effective, and the gifts God has given us that show up will give strength to the body of Christ. Lives shall be changed for the better. Love plus our gifts, I tell you, it means everything. The second thing I'm going to tell you is this. You got to make love a top priority. You see, most of us do believe that love really is the best thing in the world. If you had love right, if you've been loved right, you will know that it's hard to find anything that compares. It's better than the best dessert. We can tell people who make expressing their love a top priority what you're talking about. Let me help somebody. Have you ever grown up or been to grandmama's house who baked good desserts? Do I have anybody in here who knows what I'm talking about? When she took the apple pie, when she took the peach cobbler, when she took the pound cake out of the oven, you could smell the love. Am I right about it? You knew she put love in it because you could taste the love with every bite. God, you see, and I'm so glad piece of cake. When love was her top priority, love touched everything she did. I got somebody that's having flashbacks right now of grandmama's table. Hallelujah, with all the goodies sitting on it, especially around the holiday time. All you had to do was get close to the house, and you could smell the goodies as you walked, to the door. Well, that's because grandmama knew something about putting love in what she did. She knew how it was going to capture the very hearts of her children. You see, it's the same in the church. When we put love in it, on it, and through it, love will change the atmosphere. Most people love to be in the midst of love. And our advice to the household of faith is we got to study love, and we got to pray about the love that we profess. We won't promise that loving everybody all the time won't challenge you every now and then. But the kingdom of God will be better when we make love a top priority. I think I'm on something already. I think I'm on to something. And the third thing I'm going to tell you is this. God is love. I know you've heard it. I know you've heard people say it a million times. John 4:8 proclaimed, God is love. And because he is love, we have the ability to show love, to walk in love, and to speak truth in love. Joyce Meyer reminds us that when we walk in his love, who it is then that we abide in him. Lord knows our world could use a little bit more abiding, don't you think? The Bible teaches us, saints, that God is the initiator of love. How do you know that, Pastor I? Well, because in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse number 19, it says that we love because he loved us first. And then the word becomes clear. It tells us that we cannot love God and hate our brothers and sisters at the same time. Because them two things don't go together. That's 1 John 4:20. But there's another piece that tells me that Jesus knew how to demonstrate the kind of love that Paul was pinning to the people at Corinth. The Corinthians needed to understand that there was a great kind of love. And Paul says that when you do it like this, then you'll be living your best life. Well, he says that kind of love is kind of love that is patient and is kind. He said the love I'm talking about is the love that was not jealous. Neither is it boastful. He said that kind of love is not proud. It's not rude. And it does not demand its own way. Hallelujah. He said this love, it's not irritable. And neither did it keep any record of wrong. You know, like we do. He said, but I'm going to tell the church that as I thought about what Paul said, and as he talked about the kind of love that we need to have as men and women of God, my mind rolled back to some years ago. I believe it was on a Friday afternoon when he saw that kind of love that he had. Faithful to the end. We saw a kind of love that was hope. because we together have all. And the people.